Hey everybody, welcome to your Friday, November 15th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that turns from white to black. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Mike Lemieux.
That joke's not going to play.
It might make some sense. I don't know. There was nothing in the news this week. I can't complain about UPS.
I'm not even sure if I get that one, so I feel bad right now.
The giant bomb PlayStation 4 livestream thing that like just happened a little while ago.
Yeah.
You know, the hottest jokes.
Yep. That stuff that happened while I was at my quarterly.
God, I think I had a good one earlier. It was like the only manga podcast that doesn't require a 50 megabyte or a 50 gigabyte install to play it.
What is that referring to?
The PlayStation 4.
Oh, okay.
Also,
I don't know because I don't have mine.
Yeah, Imran, I would like to publicly announce while we're recording this that I'm the one who stole your PS4.
Shit, I knew it.
Wait, I'm the one who stole his PS4.
Then whose do I have?
Oh man, this is bad.
Yeah, you might want to figure that out. In the meantime, do we have any house cleaning?
I thought I had something, but I can't remember what it is right now. So, let's go with no.
Yep, okay. The best kind of cleaning is the cleaning you don't remember to do.
Yeah, I was going to make a transition from stealing something and worrying about American gangsters, something McDonald's.
Okay, Beelzebub.
Yeah, McDonald's.
So,
I could go for some McDonald's right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, not McDonald's.
I love their Big Macs.
So I love that, like, it's a McDonald's with, like, a tiny M in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it has the second golden arches right in the middle. So it's totally not... Actually, you know what that is? This
the
is,
mask?
Like, a... No, this is a closet, like, they're a hidden thing for the Navy from One Piece. Because that is totally their logo.
I was going to say that it's a McDonald's logo with a mustache, so you don't recognize it.
So Oga and Furuichi see the McDonald's logo outside their hotel and are super excited because, well, Oga's super excited because he has never seen one before, except they have tons of them in Japan.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, not paying much attention.
I cannot imagine going to America and, like, being excited for McDonald's there.
I read that one thing that was, like... I don't remember which site it was, but you linked it to 16 people, like, their thoughts on America after moving there.
Yeah.
And, like, a couple of them were like, McDonald's doesn't live up to the hype. It's kind of shitty. Why does the whole world talk about it?
It's a good point.
I don't know why there is that hype, because it's already everywhere anyway. They
and
should
it's better
know that
in
it's
those
crappy.
Places.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Foreign McDonald's are way better than... Oh, God,
oh,
this is a weird conversation, but yeah.
I've heard Italian ones are just, like, super awesome, and you can get wine in them.
Japanese ones are like they're actually made by crazy people.
Yeah,
like it's just people like what weird thing can we do? Darth Vader burger with like a black bun? Sure, why not?
I love the ones that came like it was a gold ring burger that had just like a pineapple slice of pineapple on it, and it came in like a giant hamburger sized jewelry box and like an embroidered bag.
See, now you guys are making me regret things because when I travel, I purposely avoid any chains if I can help it. So.
That's a smart thing to do unless you're living there. Because then it's like, oh man, I just really want a crappy burger right now.
I can see a McDonald's from where I'm sitting right now. I could go for a crappy burger.
So
McDonald's.
So crappy motels.
Crappy motel, and I feel like Ryuhei Tamura has found his new love, which is American Graffiti.
Yeah.
I know that when I stay in hotel rooms, they have USA written on the wall.
And love and peace, fuck.
No, it's Alex Fuck, I think. Like a name?
Oh. Is that Oga's
I'm
handle
here,
now?
1987.
And then fat? Just the word fat.
I'm hungry. Yeah, all of this is just amazing. One of them is just like an X with Jesus written under it.
One
that,
just
that
freedom.
One
that's
very accurate.
What would they say in America? Freedom.
Looks like there's a wanted poster in the hotel room that got torn down.
There's one that just says, I'm hungry.
One says, Los Angeles.
So basically just people writing whatever.
Yeah. American words that he knows.
So Oga starts to leave, and Furuichi says, we were told not to go anywhere. We have to stay here. And Oga points out that they're going to the Solomon Factory, because they just heard about it, and they've asked around where it is.
Yeah.
Hilda has found it.
Yep. So they just transition immediately to there, and Furuichi says he's hungry and wants to go back. So maybe he wrote that graffiti.
Beelzebub does a backflip sphincter into nose junk.
Yes, he asserts his dominance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does the chicken dance.
And Furuichi questions whether Oga wiped him after he pooped last chapter.
Which, of course he didn't.
No.
This is Oga. Do you really think he did?
I think Furuichi was better off dead.
So they just kind of like tear down the fence and go in.
Yeah.
And the
For some reason, I just really like that both of them just kind of casually walk through the fence.
Yeah. At least Hilda uses a sword. Oga just kind of
she cuts it open.
It.
Yeah. And the Americans inside the abandoned factory see the Japanese man with the baby.
Yeah.
And then we cut back to Oga, and he is dressed up like a samurai.
In Edo period samurai with
a top knot, and it's an amazing costume.
Drawn on mustache.
And yeah.
Well, meanwhile, Hilda is sexy ninja.
Yes. Like, that's what she actually refers to herself as.
Yes.
Yes. She is sexy ninja Hilda. And also, Beelzebub is wearing something resembling clothes, which is weird. Yeah.
No pants, just a hat.
And they tell Furuichi to go ahead and put on his Japanese costume because they brought it in the luggage.
They want to intimidate the Americans by dressing super Japanese.
Yeah, they're clearly scared of samurai.
I know that if I saw a bunch of random people walk up dressed like this, you know, I would be very confused. And probably they were high on meth or something like that.
They were told to look for a Japanese person, so it's kind of obvious who they're looking for now. And Oga taunts them with Beelzebub as the master butthole. So they all attack Oga, and he just Zebul blasts them away.
And then Furuichi points out, why did they even need to dress up if he was just going to do that?
And some other guys come at him that are oddly quick and seem to be contracted by a demon.
Well, they survive the Zebul blast.
Yeah. And some of them attack Furuichi, who points out that he can't fight.
And so he Duran is rescued by Duran.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this.
Who is hungry like the wolf.
Then we get a little bit of background as to what happened with the Solomon Company and his gang and everything else like that.
Basically, when the Solomon Company started stealing women, Duran was stopping them. And eventually, the leader of Duran's group fell in with the Solomon Company. And then things took a turn for the worse.
Yeah, it used to be a good gang, and then they turned into a bad gang, so he left.
Yep.
So then Oga's a little annoyed that Duran stepped into his fight.
And punches him out. Because he tells Duran to stay out of this, because he's the one who's going to take down the Solomon Company. He's the hero.
Yes. Yeah. You might be this town backwater town's hero, but I'm the superhero that's going to save the world. Captain Fuck.
Yeah.
I love that he feels giving the thumbs up.
I love that he keeps punctuating these, like, awesome moments by calling himself Fuck.
That might be the best running gag of this entire thing.
White Himikawa comes out with his demon, Taurus, who is like a...
Yeah.
Either a woman or a transgender demon?
It's in a bikini and... Or something.
Lingerie?
Yeah.
It's just a lady minotaur. There's nothing weird about that.
I could... So
well,
before
if it was a lady
could...
minotaur, wouldn't it have six?
Hmm. Good point.
Yeah.
So, before White Himikawa can finish his speech, Oga is already blasting him in the head, face with a Zebul emblem.
Yep, and
defeats
him.
It's just, you know, a one-hit KO.
Yep, this is one punch man as shit.
Yeah.
The entire factory is blown up. They didn't get any information.
Well, no, that's not true. They have, they're back on the road, and now Corey is going to lead them where they want to go.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Brenda shows up out of nowhere.
It looks like our prediction concerning her is going to end up false. It's very sad.
Is it?
Unless
well,
she comes
time.
Back. Yeah.
Her and Duran stay behind in town while everyone else heads
they
off.
They could come back.
They head off to destroy the Solomon Company in L.A.
Yep. She could be, you know, kidnapped and show up to be a damsel in distress or something like that.
Yeah.
They've already established they were kidnapping women.
That's true. Actually, now that you mention it, I wonder why they were kidnapping women. It's got to have something to do with,
Beel's mom?
Yeah. Does she need, like, a new host body or something weird like that?
Yeah.
Could be.
But, I mean, it was years ago, wasn't it? Like, it wasn't a recent thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, the factory's shut down, right?
No, yeah, true. But I bet we're still going to get some revelations about why they were doing that.
Yeah. I don't think there's just going to be, like, a big room full of kidnapped women, like... every other Japanese story.
Wind Waker style, have a giant bird just hanging out.
Yep. So they're back on the road. And next week they're in L.A.
Yep.
I hope they use this opportunity to make fun of L.A.
Like L.A. needs the help.
Or I want to see like a uniquely Japanese take on what's wrong with L.A.
I can feel...
From his experiences when he was there, you know, so it's all going to be about being stuck in traffic.
I can feel the manga racism.
Yeah, also
on us.
The black guy that was with Corey last time, not in this chapter. Unless he's one of these silhouetted black guys, which might be more racist.
He was probably just in the building when Oga blew it up.
He was the Minotaur.
I guess this confirms that, like, Solomon Company is handing out demons to, like, their lower-level people, too.
Yeah.
Or he had one.
But I guess this more confirms that Mitch and what's-his-name were lower-level and not, like, standout people that could totally take Oga given the opportunity.
Oh, yeah, like, no. They're very obviously low-ranking at this point.
They're not, like, the elite 12, you know, people of the Solomon Company each have a demon or something. They just hand them out like candy.
I like that.
I think it'd be neat if it was the sort of thing where it was like multiple people have the contract with the same one, and so there's those 12 that can get called on by multiple people as needed, or something like that.
And like the demons would be stronger if called by those other people.
Maybe, I don't know. Or I was thinking the opposite, where, you know, if they can fully manifest by one person, then, but if they're being used in multiple places, they'd be weaker. I don't know.
So I like that Corey calls Oga Mr. Fuck at the end.
Well, of course, that's his name.
Yeah. Mister.
Yeah.
A sign of respect.
Yeah. I like that nobody questions that that's his name. Like that.
Of course. That's one of those weird Asian names, right?
I do like that Furuichi is basically given up being the straight man. Just whatever Oga says is fine.
Yep, just go along with it.
He won't change anything.
He All is right. the ally of, yeah, or he is the subordinate of Captain Butthole.
So I guess no use predicting. They say next week they're in L.A.
Yep.
So I'm going to guess that next week they're not in L.A.
Bold prediction.
Feels up in Australia.
They find out that Alan Delon sent him to the wrong place, and it's just like this crazy town in Australia that pretends that they're in America.
They directly said they're in America, have they?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, they have.
Have they?
They have McDonald's.
So does everywhere else.
That's true. They're all over.
Like, the narration has said they're in America, but nothing else has. Except that the guy agreed to take them to L.A. Unless Australia also has an L.A.
I'm going to guess that they do not have a Los Angeles in Australia.
I'm trying to think of some Australian pun that's not offensive, but... Maybe that's what they call New Zealand. Just can't even bother to get it right.
Nah, it's Kiwi.
Yep. They're not offended by the word Kiwi, I guess.
No, that's, I mean, it's the national bird. That's not anything. For New Zealand, Kiwi is just the term that they go by.
They should call us the Eagles.
Yeah, I was just going to say, why don't we get called the Eagles? That would be awesome.
That was my high school sports team.
It's kind of like how slang for Australia is Oz, down on, you know, the OZ.
I assumed it was because they had flying monkeys and witches. That one fell flat.
Bleach. There.
Yeah.
I said
Speaking of things falling flat. I don't know. This was a good chapter. Okay. It's fine. It's fine.
This was good for Bleach.
They didn't drop the ball after catching it last week.
Yeah. They're just sort of holding onto it and idling.
I'm just picturing like a kid grabbing the ball and then just like going into the defensive like fetal position and falling to the ground and staying there.
No, it's
helping.
It's a fight chapter, you know.
Kinda. In what has become fights in Bleach.
Yeah. So Kamimura's Bankai is wrecking shit up.
Yeah.
Hot Nazi is disappointed that there was no dog underneath the Bankai armor.
Yeah, and then it starts healing itself and was not exploding like anything else that's touched by her explosion should be.
Such explosions.
Yep.
Wow.
So, apparently because it is pure Raiatsu.
Much Raiatsu.
Are you making dog jokes?
I was. I didn't know that Greg picked up on it yet.
No, I ignore those things. That thing was old to me on day one, so...
I couldn't resist, because you kept calling him Doggy. Doggy.
Is it pronounced... Yeah, I always thought it pronounced... I thought it was just Doge.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure
that's
Doge.
That's how I... That I think Doge or Doge.
I prefer Doge.
I mean, I guess I could see Doggy-E, like, if you wanted to go that route.
Jumpcast, your place for internet memes.
Anyway, so this part bugged me. If this thing was pure Raiatsu, wouldn't she be able to absorb it as a Quincy? Like, no problem? Like, that's kind of what they do?
Well, that's what kind of, like, everything in Soul Society is supposed to be made of Raiatsu, right? That's why Ishida was able to absorb buildings when he was attacking.
Yeah. That's never come up again.
Like a gingerbread house made of spirit energy. So she blasts Kamimura in the chest. It is revealed he has a big hole there.
Yep, that patch wasn't covering up a scar or anything.
Well, yes, and the whole thing is also that, you know, the life is in the armor, but she can only make something a bomb and blowing it apart, and it's terrifying only because there is life there. If there's no life, then it can't be blown apart?
But wasn't she blowing up buildings?
Yeah, well, he was saying that there's no terror in it. So, I don't know.
Anyway, so Komamura's dead. Like, he's not actually alive anymore, he's just an empty shell.
Well, to be clear, he's a ghost, to begin with.
Yes.
Soul Society rules.
He is a dead ghost.
Yeah.
But he was born a fox. As a ghost.
A ghost fox.
Yes.
Man. Ghost.
Where?
But
dogs.
Never alive. But now dead.
But basically, when he turned into a human, he temporarily got an immortal body just so he can defeat his enemy, and then the assumption is he will, you know, fade away to nothingness after this.
Yeah.
Once he's accomplished his task.
Which, I mean, that's a fine concept, but I don't care that much about Komamura. Like, if he fades away, it's gonna be, oh, okay, Komamura fades away.
Cool, thanks for a couple good chapters. Bye.
Yeah, if it were someone else that was, like, in the manga before this to a great degree.
So, kind of like, you know, when Ishida used that one thing, which greatly increased his power but would burn them out so he could never use them again, you felt something.
Yes.
Because at the time, he was a main character. Now like, I wouldn't really care anymore. But
if this were Chad, maybe I'd feel something more.
I don't...
I'm saying that's, like, the next lowest bar.
And I was going to say, like, you know, then Ishida was using his powers the very next arc.
Well, Bleach is all about permanence.
Yeah.
So anyway, Killing Blow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Bankai this was a very hot-blooded chapter.
Yeah. Yes, I still enjoyed reading this chapter.
Yeah.
Yes, I enjoyed this chapter. There's not a whole lot to say about it.
If Bleach could just focus on being cool for a while and not, like,
up its
being
own ass.
Bleach. Yeah.
It wasn't just cool, it was stylish in it. Like, it was, I don't know.
I say that all the time, that the one thing Bleach is really missing that it had before was incredible style.
Yeah. It was very, very cohesive back in the day.
Yeah, it doesn't try that anymore. Also, why is the Bankai wrecking things up? Aren't Shinji and Hinamori down there?
Eh, who cares about them?
Don't you remember
they'll be fine.
Anytime nobody's talked about for a little while, it means that they're just gone.
They're probably off fighting Busby or something.
Yeah.
They got put on a bus.
Oh, that'd be great if it just cut back to, like, them fighting Busby. And it's like, how did we meet? I don't know. Where are we?
How did you get back over here?
All right.
So, do you think that this is going to continue with this fight, or move on to somebody else?
I bet it cuts to somebody else, but I bet she's not dead.
I bet she's not dead, and she comes back with her own killing blow later.
Well, because she's still got her four sidekicks that haven't shown up to the fight.
Also, I think she's going to transform somehow.
Yeah, again? Probably by absorbing her four sidekicks or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet it'll be like, these are pieces of myself that I cast off because I'm too strong.
I had to limit myself. It was too hotbox rule.
Yeah. He said, it'll
I got
make
lonely.
Interesting.
I got lonely in that nothingness of the Quincy world, so I made a companion. We haven't heard that one before.
We made a bunch of hot Nazis.
Thought it was weird that I was the only girl. That seems really sexist. So I made some more.
That one, the woman with the mask could be a girl.
It's a robot. Know.
The weird, like, black-haired one that fought...
the one that fought Yakia.
Oh, that one. Okay.
And then died. And then didn't die.
Was shown being burned alive and then was fine.
Yeah.
Because
Busby...
Because heat.
Yeah, he unheated them.
So yeah, good Bleach chapter. Not a whole lot to talk about.
Yep.
That means...
On to a chapter that there's tons to talk about, right?
Chapter 99 of Nisekoi.
So, I didn't realize it till today, but apparently we're pretty aligned episode count-wise with Nisekoi.
What is this, 93?
Yeah. Or
we will catch up after, because, you know, there's, 2 weeks a year that they don't have them, so we'll catch up soon enough.
In, 3 years.
Yeah.
So this is the, not penultimate, but I guess 100 issue eve of Nisekoi.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that this didn't have a cliffhanger going into the 100th.
Yeah, I actually figured this would be an arc, and then on the last page it just ends.
Yeah, it's just a side story about Tsugumi.
Yep. So Tsugumi finds drugs. It takes them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finds a candy of something like that that Onodera is a fan of, and eats one. But it turns out it wasn't candy. It's drugs.
Yeah. Delicious drugs.
And it makes her weak as a kitten. Because it's designed to trick people into something.
Well, no, it's disguised as a candy. So that, you know, they could slip it in to people to make them weak so that they'd be easier to kill or something like that.
Yeah, it takes... It'll make the strongest man as weak as a small girl.
So she arm wrestles Raku and loses. And she can't fight Shu off.
So Shu molests her in front of the entire class.
That seems in character for him.
Her and Tachibana race, but neither of them can make it to the end.
That part was legitimately funny.
Yeah. That neither one of them.
Because there was so much shit talking leading up to that race, and they both just fall over halfway through.
And she eventually decides she's going to have to leave because she can't protect Chitoge. So if she can't be her bodyguard, then she has no place here.
And then Raku calls Darling and informs her of that, and then Chitoge demonstrates why she does not actually need a bodyguard.
By kicking through a wall with rebar in it.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, this is a dangerous-ass school, so I'd be willing to believe that wall is just broken. And easily move through.
That's weird. It's just all flour and water. No wonder it's so cold inside.
So Tsugumi has her Raku moment where she talks to him outside the school.
And she decides to stay, and, you know, he mentions that, you know, she's his number one study buddy. So she goes to hit him, and it's determined that her strength has come back.
Because the drug is misogynist.
Yeah, it only works on men, not women. Or, it's only permanent on men, not women.
Yes. And so the final panel is Tsugumi tying up Claude and beating him to death.
Is that Claude? Shu? It's Shu from Alessio.
Oh, is that Shu? Okay, yeah. I thought it was Claude.
Yeah. They're both blonde dudes in glasses, but it's definitely Shu.
Yeah. She has more reason to do so to him.
I don't know. Claude did leave drugs in the shape of candy around.
Yeah, but, you know, that's normal for him.
Yeah. How much dangerous stuff has Claude just left lying around?
Enough.
Weird plot device handcuffs and suitcases with really gross combinations. And.
So I had a thought. Wouldn't it be great if Nisekoi was taking place in the assassination classroom school.
And it just never came up.
Yeah. Like, they're not that class, but that's why so many dangerous things happen. They should make that crossover.
We see
Stranger crossovers have been done. Sai has crossed over with Ass Class.
I'll bet there'll be a Nisei Koi ass class crossover someday.
Like, nah, I don't think so.
Nisei Koi's been having a lot of crossovers lately.
Yeah, every time there's a crossover, it's with a manga I've never heard of.
Well, but like, aren't they all with, Haikyuu, like, other romance series, though?
No, like, Haikyuu's not a romance. Eh. Didn't it crossover with that?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure Haikyuu's, like, a sports manga.
Hmm.
So, I didn't think this issue was bad. Like,
no,
as far as
just,
Nisei Koi goes, it's just...
It was contrived? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, not even contrived. It just... It's... I'm less tolerant of Nisei Koi's bullshit now than I was the last time they did one of these.
No, I was mostly fine with this chapter. I just think that it's kind of like, oh, hey, that was chapter 99. That's what you're doing with this? Okay.
I legitimately thought this could have been an arc, but like I said, last page, it just presto changeo, it's fixed.
And Nisei Koi does those side stories.
Yeah.
So what do you think they're going to do for 100?
I don't know. Maybe Raku gets laid. Who cares?
I bet it's going to be a Fu chapter.
Oh, God. It'll be the Fu reveal.
I'm going to guess that it's going to be like a cliffhanger of some sort that will involve, I don't know, high school shenanigans where he's blindfolded and one of them is kissing him, but you don't know who.
Actually, by the way, Imran, Fu is on the cover of the new volume.
Is she?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Like, she is continuing to appear in artwork that, like, other side characters do not get.
Has she even had, like, a single, like, word?
She has said, like, poor dear or something to Haru.
Yeah. She's had a few lines here and there.
And she was at the birthday party, I think.
Yeah.
For
oh,
no
yes,
reason.
I'm looking at that cover right now, and while she is, do you know who is the center of that one?
I didn't want to break it to him.
Okay.
Is it Haru?
Yeah.
Yes. It's your favorite character.
See, I don't think there's legitimately any chance Haru's going to be the one. I don't know. If they do that, that's going to be, like, the worst thing. It would be somehow making Nisei Koi worse in retrospect than it would be at the time. Though if you wanted to go for, like, a completely unexpected choice, that would be it.
Nah, it's totally going to be Fu. I'm putting all my chips in on Fu.
Yep.
I'm going to guess that you guys are probably right on that, but that's not who he's going to end up with.
Oh, no. I bet it's going to be the thing where he's like, oh my god, you were the girl from way back then, and we're destined to be together. And she'll be like, that's super. I don't know you.
This girl's apparently been in love with you for years and changed high schools to be with you. Why not pay attention to her?
Yeah, it's like, dude, I have a boyfriend. Like, stop here. Have your key. I don't care.
You have, like, 3 girlfriends.
What is wrong with you?
Why are you wearing a locket necklace? That's just, you know.
Dude, you know what else I did when I was 6? I played Power Rangers. I don't still do that. Oh, that would all be right. So great if he just got told so bad by her.
Like, it's just a book. It didn't determine our lives.
It's not magic. It's a dollar down at the reading
and
tree.
And then it turns out it actually is magic, and then Nisei Koi turns into a magical fighting naga.
I'm trying to think of things that actually did, like, turn straight into battle manga.
Yu Yu Hakusho is the classic example.
I don't know, that started. It started as it had the
now,
potential.
The one that I can think of that I didn't read but I've heard of was it would oh god, what's the name of it? Maho Sensei Negima, was it? The thing that was by the love Hina person.
Yeah. That had the elements because it had like
the witches
the power
and stuff.
System. Yeah.
But I heard that just turned into a straight up fighting manga.
Yeah, at some point. But Yu Hakusho, I take issue with that. It did not start as a fight manga. It was like a drama for like 100 chapters.
See, but I feel like that's saying like Dragon Ball was not a fight manga.
No,
it was an adventure manga.
You know that Yu Hakusho, the manga, is like way different.
Yeah, there's like a bunch more time where he's still a ghost.
Yeah, and it's just like this weird like solving people's problems as a ghost for like a long time. It's a long time before he gets the gun power. Which I assume is the point where it's like, you're going to get canceled. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay, now everyone shoots lasers.
That's a good way to... That's how you revitalize Nisei Koi. Everyone shoots lasers. Tell me it wouldn't make the manga more interesting.
It really would. It's kind of the thing. I'm trying to think of a flaw with your plan.
All right. Speaking of lasers, I guess.
Sure.
Naruto.
Where the tailed beasts have been dragged out.
Yep. Why is A-Tail celebrating? He's been out.
Ah, he got.
He's just
the rest
laughing.
Of
his buds are back.
I also noticed he's got his teeth back now, so I guess he healed now that his whole body's back.
Yeah, I guess so. So Naruto has pulled out all the tailed beasts, and everyone's celebrating. And Sasuke is like, "Wait a second, we should probably kill Obito."
Yeah, isn't this something that we guessed? Like, Sasuke would just run over and shank Obito, like, as soon as he had a chance.
It's like, wait, the enemy's there. We have to take him out. And then all the other, you know, ninja are like, yeah, what about him?
Then Kakashi just appears.
He copied his ability. I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Well, it's hard to tell whether or not Obito freed him or Kakashi popped out.
Well, he's not looking at where Kakashi came out, so he couldn't.
Yeah, and Kakashi is, you know, very obviously going for the attack.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Kakashi was just hanging out until he, like, stitched himself up.
So,
doing some surgery.
So Kakashi says that he's going to be the one to kill Obito because he's his friend. Which parallels?
I guess. Like, I think that that's just... He's taking responsibility.
No, I'm pretty sure they, like, straight up call it out as it's exactly like Naruto and Sasuke at some point. I forget where, but it's in this chapter. Anyway, Four stops him.
Yeah.
Just and like, everyone is overcome with crazy bloodlust.
I don't blame them.
Except for Tsunade.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't been here for that long, so... I'm still confused. Is that the guy
we're
fighting?
She didn't see Neji die. If she were there to witness Neji's death, she would be filled with bloodlust, too.
I just reminded that Simpsons thing where Lisa, like, takes over a news station to talk about being smart, and the guy, producer's like, wait, let her talk. I'm trying to get fired. I'm sick of being Hokage. Let's let this happen.
Let's just make my grandpa the Hokage again, right? He's immortal.
Yep, he's back. He can just, you know, take care of that.
Let's just have a god king. What could be the problem?
So, Fourth says that, you know, Kakashi is Obito's friend, and he can understand him perfectly. Then he just straight up, like, looks at Naruto and is like, hey, right? Huh? Like, you guys? Huh? Huh?
Yep.
And then it shows Naruto looking at Sasuke, who is thinking about cats or something.
Yeah, Sasuke's not, like, even looking at Naruto.
Well, no, I think he's just looking at the event of, you know, Kakashi going to stab him.
But I mean, like, he's looking at the Fourth, who's looking at Naruto, and Naruto's looking at Sasuke. I feel like Sasuke is just either too focused or kind of a dick.
Yeah, it's just kind of blowing over him.
Maybe Sasuke has, like, mental issues that have just never been properly diagnosed. It's like, oh,
and then the Fourth goes, hey, guys, remember Madara? He's a guy, too.
That's right, he
we
does
kind of
have
need to take care of him.
Yeah. Oh, right, Madara, we forgot. Let's go.
So Fourth says that this is kind of his fault, that he let all this happen. That he should have protected Rin and Obito and Kakashi.
And then, yeah, kinda.
Kakashi makes a pretty good point that, like, he's had a way more tragic lifestyle than anybody else, because he lost everyone who was ever important to him. Like, they all just sort of willingly died or left.
Yeah.
And then Obito, you know, starts talking about Rin to them.
Yeah, she was the only led his life.
I lost her. It's like, yeah, well, so did I. I had to kill her. Yeah.
Well, technically, she ran in front of his Raikiri.
Yeah.
As she I recall that happening.
She committed suicide by proxy.
Okay, so yeah, we had insane computer troubles that still aren't completely fixed, so...
Yeah, you just, like, left that computer behind and found another one.
Yeah.
Just all of a sudden... Nobody could hear anything, and then the call was dropped, and then...
Well, and then now here we are.
Whenever a call drops, I always get super self-conscious, because it's usually, like, right when I'm saying something, and then you guys aren't talking, so I keep, like, filling the air by just continuing my point.
I made a real bad joke, and then nobody heard it, so I was like, oh, I thought you guys were just, like, being really silent, because it was such a bad joke.
I explained what was going on poorly, and then there was silence, and I tried to clarify, and then there was silence, and I'm like,
come on, guys, we can't have this much empty space.
So we're not quite sure where we left off, and maybe I'll try to edit it to make it sound a little bit better, but...
I'll go with the last thing I said. So Kakashi and Obito start having a good talk after all these, you know, powwowing that they're doing.
Yeah, and they're talking about the different paths that Obito could have taken, and whether, you know, there might have been a better way to go about what he was trying to accomplish.
Yeah, you know, maybe a better way than
that
brainwashing the entire world.
Mass genocide and...
They're Sharingan bros. They have that link.
They're seeing eye to eye, is what you're saying.
Ah.
Was that the terrible joke that you had made, Imran?
No, it was much worse, but we're never going to speak of it again. So Naruto is just apparently not the guy who gives up. And then it shows, like, all the people who have died for Naruto.
All three of them.
Yes.
Which is really kind of awkward.
Jiraiya, Neji,
one
and
of whom is, you know, was back.
Yeah. He got Ito Tensei'd back.
Yeah.
Also, Itachi, Itachi really didn't die for Naruto.
He died for Sasuke.
Yeah, like, Naruto wasn't even around for that.
He just fed Naruto crows.
You know, if you're going to have people who died for Naruto, having, like, the third in there would make more sense.
Yeah. Like, if Itachi gets in, there's a bunch of other people to get in, too.
Yeah. Or, you know, the fourth. So Naruto is going to destroy the hell out of that tree.
Yeah, before Madara. Like, presumably Madara is still fighting the first. They made reference to that, but didn't show it. So,
yep.
While they
So, he makes a giant Udama Rasen Shuriken, which I think is the first time we've seen those two combined, right?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever seen a giant. Well, no, didn't when he was in his, like, Gundam QB, didn't they do a Rasen Shuriken once that was a giant one?
Maybe, yeah.
Did they ever fix that? Like, I remember he was told never to use it again.
It wasn't brought up.
No, the Shuriken thing got fixed by using Sage Power. That's what allows him to actually throw it, so it's not using his hand and damaging him, too.
So, yeah, it got magic fixed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, it ends with a big thing, or look at the battlefield.
The flower seems to be exploding in the distance.
Yeah.
And we see
and
those
it's footprints. Like a moonscape with all of the footprints.
Yeah, it was... Remember a long time ago when there was that chapter where everyone was running towards Naruto? We see those same footprints.
And then it says hiatus for a month.
Yep. Not
a bad
place to stop.
This is a pretty good place to take a break.
Yeah.
This is fine. It's not like, oh god...
It's not a cliffhanger or anything. It's just...
Yeah, like if Madara had shown up and gotten the sage powers or something right at the end.
Madara had shown up and, like, put a hand through Sasuke's chest or something like that.
Yeah, Naruto's chest. And, oh god.
It is, for all its purposes, the end of the Obito part of this arc.
Yeah. Now, I guess we move on to the final boss.
Yeah, which we'll get to in a month. So... Until then, I think we agreed World Trigger is going to replace Naruto.
Yeah, we have had people... Yep. Well, we've had people request both World Trigger coming back and Shogeki no Soma.
Yeah, we basically... I mean, it's not that we really had, like, an intense
discussion about it.
Yeah.
I think
like,
my exact words were, I don't care.
Yeah.
My response was, why not both? So...
If we lost another manga, then I would agree to both. But we're already pretty long as is.
Yeah,
I've got an idea. There's one that we could lose.
We're not going to lose Beelzebub.
Despite my protests.
Yeah, it was a decent chapter. Not a whole lot happened, but the Kakashi...
being back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually does kind of feel like it's winding down at this point. Like, everything's getting put kind of in a row to finish up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's the drop the curtain of an act so that you can raise it for the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Now there's an intermission. You know, it's basically like, take a month and go get yourself some snacks, and we'll come back and fight Madara.
And enjoy World Trigger and Dragon Ball Z references.
It's over 8,000.
Yep.
Yep. All right, then. Naruto
on
was
to
not
One Piece.
On to Caribou.
Yes. Yeah, so some people actually went and counted it out. This is almost the longest cover story that he's done.
What was the other one?
It's the one where it was glimpses around the world at like around the time skip.
Oh, well, yeah, but single character one, this is...
Oh, it's definitely the longest single character one at this point.
We might as well just go for 50 at this point, you know, if it's already at 43.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway, he gets a meat pie.
Yeah, whatever.
On to the actual chapter.
Yep. So, Violetta is apparently a princess.
Yeah, that comes up later.
I mean, it kind of doesn't come up. It comes up now.
It's basically revealed towards the beginning.
She's looking at King Riku destroying things and saying, "Father."
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're and right.
One of the other things that I noticed was that it's Captain Virgo accepted the request. Yes,
I caught that too. So a lot more of Doflamingo's people have infiltrated the ranks than they thought. Or that we have been led to, you know, we've been told before this.
It's just that we know that that is one of Doflamingo's guys.
I know, that's what I mean.
It's
just revealing that, like, he's deep infiltrated, because then we find out that Monet is also there.
Which... Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was... We didn't know in what capacity, but we knew that she was there. Yeah.
Short-haired Monet.
Yes. Young Monet.
Without wings.
And she's letting in the invaders into the castle.
Yes, she's welcoming
letting
in
the new royal family.
Yep.
Which everyone's all young.
Yeah. It's basically, they all look exactly the same, just in dumb clothes.
I don't know, Baby That's Five looks baby. The same.
No, she looks younger.
Yeah.
She looks like a little younger.
I mean, like, clothes-wise, she's wearing the same thing.
That one guy is wearing a shirt that says, "Let's Baby."
Who are the kids? Have we ever seen them before?
Yeah, the little girl is, like, a crazy one, and the kid in the bull hat is one of the people in Diamante's crew that's going to fight in the arena.
Yeah, and the little girl, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't look any older
now. She's still a little girl, so...
Yeah, so there's something going on with that. But anyway, this is I think that this is also a nice establishing thing for, hey, you know, these might be people that are going to be battles this arc.
Yeah,
preparing up.
Because, Doflamingo's crew has always been kind of murky and, like, not really sure how many people he had, and it's kind of nice how, like, these are the people in his crew.
Let's Baby guy has a sword.
Yeah.
I'm sure that one of the three big ones in the tournament is going to have a sword, and that's going to end up being Zoro's person. He's going to fight with the chairs.
Yeah. Because it's the kid, the guy with the sword, I think the guy with the beard is in the... tournament? I don't know.
Anyway, have to look at the actual bracket again, but
Riku is continuing to, like, cry and ask people to please kill him while he's killing people.
Yeah.
Just kind of messed up.
But they don't really hear it and just notice that he's killing everybody.
Yeah. We gave you your money, why are you doing this?
And now they all hate Riku as Don Quixote comes in and save the day.
Yes, and we get to see the spade guy, and it's not that he's wearing armor, he has spikes coming out of his shoulders.
Yeah.
Maybe he has a spike fruit or something.
I like his mask.
We've already seen that one.
We've seen variations of, like, needles and...
Oh, yeah, it was needle, that's right, not spike. But
he could have the muscle fruit or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's change his shape. Anyway, he looks kind of cool.
So, as Don Quixote gives him the order to clean up the country... Everyone cheers for him.
Yeah. He's the hero that has arrived just in the nick of time.
He saved them all, and in one night, the country fell into his hands. And then cuts back to where the story was being told, and everybody's reacting, especially Franky.
Who is still crying. I'm pretty sure he's been crying for, like, the last 20 hours.
Yeah. And the dwarves mentioned that even they were taken in at first, but, and they're ashamed to have doubted him.
Yeah.
But Usopp points out that with all the things King Riku did, he must have been put to death. And Sol says, no, he's actually alive. Because Violet made a deal to... Yeah. She will serve Don Quixote if they let King Riku live.
So guys, does this sound familiar? At all?
Are you saying that maybe this took place in some, like, desert-like country?
Oh no, not that, because she was going hidden. I was saying that this is more like Nami, where there was the person who joined a pirate crew to save the people, to protect the people she cared about, sort of thing.
I'm sure that happens pretty often in the One Piece world, like a day-to-day occurrence.
I'm just really liking how there's all of these callbacks to, you know, previous arcs going in on this thing with what's going on.
Yeah, this is actually turning out to be a pretty good arc.
And there's still so much floating around that we don't know anything about, like CP0, like how they're going to play in.
Yeah, stuff's going to go down.
Yeah.
So, but anyway. I would like to point out, with another princess left to rule a country, that opens it up for Rebecca to join the crew.
Nah.
If either one of them do, I would probably say that it seems more likely that Violet would join than Rebecca.
I'd be fine with that. Violet's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Although I think she looks a little too much like Robin for that to happen.
As if Rebecca doesn't look like Nami?
Yeah, Rebecca looks more like Nami than Violet looks more like Robin.
I don't know if that's true. Just keep her in the mask. It'll be fine.
I don't think you can't have somebody that looks like that likes Sanji.
Yeah.
Well, I do like the thing that she likes Sanji and she's a princess, therefore if they get married, he will be Mr. Prince.
Ah, Sanji can stay behind and rule this country with an iron fist.
So Sol starts explaining the whole thing with the toys. That they, as if we didn't realize it already, they're all former humans. And once they become a toy, everyone forgets that they ever existed.
Which, once more, we had already figured out, but it's being spelled out.
Yeah. What was once heavily implied is now just laid bare.
And so, basically, it was all of the loyalist army members, but the other ones all defected, effectively.
So the fatal flaw of these toys is they all still have some memory of their tragedies in their head.
Yeah, so they remember.
Yeah. So they can, given the right signal, just completely decide to rebel.
Which seems like that might be a big deal.
Yeah.
So we're going to get a big toy battle coming up, which will be pretty awesome.
And Franky is all for this idea, and Usopp tries to stop him. And so Usopp tries to recruit Robin to his Let's Run Away plan. And she agrees that they cannot forgive Doflamingo.
Yeah. So it just moves more into the alright, battle is about to happen.
Yeah, and so they were looking for a sign, and the sign that was given to them was that Doflamingo temporarily quit as king. So basically, this is all their fault.
Yep.
With a great reaction shot from Usopp, Robin,
like
and Franky.
All three of them. Doesn't have quite enough bug eye, but yeah. I do like how he continues calling back to that Enel face.
So Don Chinchou and King Riku are shooting the shit.
Yeah, they're the two guys left. Everyone else
is
dead.
Yeah, and I liked how Don Chinchou is talking, if only I had grandchildren. So it's showing that he has forgotten his kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Okay. For some reason, I took that to mean that those guys weren't really his grandchildren and were just calling
him
grandpa.
No, he doesn't remember them.
Yeah.
Because they were turned into toys.
Oh, man,
and King Riku is starting to suspect something's weird.
Yeah, and I guess my question is, so let's say Don Chinchou gets turned into a toy. Does he then remember his grandkids again?
Probably. The memory loss theme seems flaky at best.
I mean, Sol remembers all the other people.
Yeah.
So it cuts back to the Colosseum where Luffy has found Zoro and Kinemon.
Yeah.
And is screaming their names loudly.
Zoro,
Roosterhead gave me directions.
And Zoro, in telling Luffy not to scream their names loudly, screams Luffy's name.
Well, yeah, good point. And then we see a shadowy figure spot Luffy, and it turns out it's Bellamy.
It's Bellamy.
Yeah.
Who you constantly forget about.
I don't forget about him.
I do.
Where did we leave off with Bellamy? Was he swayed by Luffy, or...
He was uncertain because Luffy was cheering for him so hard and that sort of stuff.
So I kind of wonder if this is necessarily a bad visit or if this is a stuff's about to go down, let me help you.
Yeah, that
I don't know.
His grin seems weird. I don't know.
I think he's more willing to support Don Quixote over Luffy.
Yeah, do you think he's going for, like, brownie points?
I agree with that, although I'm wondering if because he, I don't know, because he failed, maybe there's something where he'll tell Kinemon and Zoro where the entrance to the factory is or something like that. I don't know.
Or he'll send them to a trap.
Yeah.
Yeah. As, like, something to redeem himself.
Also, he says, I finally found you.
What? So he was probably looking for him.
Well, he's not necessarily referring to Luffy there, is he? He could be referring to Kinemon.
He's looking right at Luffy. Kinemon is over outside.
I don't know.
Yeah. At least One Piece isn't on break next week, right?
Yes.
No, it's not.
It has not been announced.
In other One Piece news, next Tuesday, Strong World, English dubbed, formally released.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
So, pick it up. A lot of places have already broken Street Date, so you can find it around.
Yeah, Street Date on movies does not seem to be the thing it is with video games. Yeah, $30 on Blu-ray. Mm.
Yeah, it's not terribly cheap at the moment. But
I can wait.
For whatever it's worth, last year, Black Friday, Amazon did a, like, 70% off on One Piece stuff, so.
Support your local releases, but $35 for a Blu-ray is a bit much.
All right, then. We done with One Piece?
Yeah.
Yep.
Ending on a high note.
Assassination Classroom.
Which was great.
Man, we did not call this at all.
Yeah. Karma and Clip are fighting.
I don't think we called even, like, one aspect of this.
And then, you know, Clip just, you know, breaks the weapon. The tree, yeah. Very easily.
And Karma is just deflecting his hits one after another.
Yeah, basically not letting him get a finger on him.
Yeah, just kind of batting away his hands when he tries to reach for him.
Because they're all used to Kuro-sensei.
Yep, someone who's way faster than Clip is.
And Kurosawa points out that even though he never taught Karma how to be defensive, Karma must have picked it up just watching Kurosawa dodge everyone's knife attacks.
Which, to be fair, if you've been seeing that enough, now you would think you would have to practice it a little bit, but that's certainly more than enough to pick up the gist of things.
Yeah. So Karma is... They call him out as being incredibly talented among Class E. Or even among Class E.
Specifically in battle.
Yeah.
Like, that's his forte.
So Karma says, finally, yeah, I'll go on offense, it's fine. We'll do this fair and square, hand to hand.
Man to man.
Yep. So Karma takes a swing or a kick at him.
Yeah, so hand to hand, and he immediately goes in with a kick.
Yep. Then he eventually lands a hit on his leg and goes after him with his back turned. And Clip then sprays anesthetic right in Karma's face.
Yep, one of Smog's things.
Yep.
So he fucking cheated.
Yeah, which presumably
takes him down.
I mean, it makes sense that Smog will give these out to everybody, right? There's, like, not any reason that he has to be the only one carrying them around.
Well, I could see, you know, you don't want your competition to have your thing. I could totally see Clip lifting one of his things or something like that.
So he picks Karma up by the face.
Yep.
Well, Kurosawa, or not Kurosawa, who is that? One of the kids that looks like Kurosawa from the top.
It's one of Terasaki's goons.
Yeah.
Calls it unfair that he's hiding it. He says, why would I not do that? I want to win.
Yeah, all's fair in love and war, basically, is what he
all's fair in assassination.
Yeah.
So Kurosawa shoots him in the face with
Karma.
The same gas.
Karma.
Karma, yeah.
Which, if you think about it, that seems really dangerous to be doing that while the guy with the hands is holding onto your face.
Yeah,
it's anesthetic. He,
like, flinched and crushed his skull.
And he goes, what a coincidence. We were thinking the same thing.
Yeah, pulling a cloth away from his mouth and nose.
So he pulls out a switchblade and goes after Karma. Who dodges
it. Looks like he might. I don't think he dislocated the shoulder, but that's certainly an angle where he could.
Yeah.
It looks pretty painful.
And then they say, we need duct tape and numbers.
Everybody needs to body pile him.
Great expression on him when everybody... Like, they just jump knees first right onto his back.
Yeah.
And Karma looks happy.
Yeah. So they hog tie him in duct tape.
Yeah.
Yep. Very carefully not to get anything in his hands. And so Karma, you know, explains he thought it would be a waste to throw away the extra that the poison guy didn't use.
And the only reason he wasn't also, you know, he wasn't gassed was because he expected more of the assassin. Like, he knew he would do anything it takes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a pro.
Yeah, he knows assassins aren't fair.
Yeah.
Assassins.
So because he believed in that consciousness, he was always watching for something and then noticed the gas bottle.
And then Koro-sensei is really impressed. He never expected Karma to grow this much.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, doing the using your loss as a learning experience rather than a crushing blow. And like the, you will become something amazing in the future when, you know, it's talking about karma and killing and.
So Cliff congratulates him because even though he lost, he had fun with a real warrior.
New.
And Karma decides he's going to take advantage of the situation and put wasabi and Japanese mustard up his nose.
Yeah.
Which and sounds terrifying.
Clip has a very surprised reaction.
Well, he expected this to be like an honorable thing between samurai.
Yep.
Yeah.
But nope, Karma's still a delinquent high schooler.
He's going to shove ghost peppers up there after the wasabi. Or into the mouth.
And then duct tape it all shut.
Yeah.
Which... I think the ghost peppers are a bit too much. I think I could actually kill him.
Yeah. Like, that is just... That is horrifying.
And nobody's stopping him.
So,
well, who could stop him?
His bullying ways haven't changed much. New.
Yep. So, yeah. I don't know what... I think we predicted, like, he might go out the window or something.
Yeah.
But who
that's,
saw...
That's what my thought was. So, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I guessed wasabi up the nose. Like, you can go back and listen.
Oh,
that was a good fight.
I'm loving how this series just completely is defying our expectations when it comes to these things, and in the most amazing way possible.
So,
like, our idea was great, but this is even better.
Our idea was great for, like, a normal manga, but
yeah,
this is great for Assassination Classroom. So, we have, like, Gastro and then the leader left, right? That we know
there's
of.
Two more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was there's the leader, and then there's three assassins underneath him, and we've already seen two.
Yeah.
Fun with math.
So there is
Gastro.
The...
Yeah, Gastro
Gun
is
Eater is next.
Yeah. I like the Gun Eater, but I still think it's going to be the assassins... Or not the assassins, the snipers versus him.
Because guns versus guns?
Yes.
Yeah.
Seems or, reasonable.
They're just going to see their sniper rifles and get really hungry.
He'll, like, launch himself at them to start chewing on the barrel.
Yep.
Oh, God. Just holding a sniper rifle with a guy, like, eating the barrel. It's like, seems a little easy.
Like, yeah, do I pull the trigger?
You're giving me a little easy shot here.
They look over to Crossimon, and he just shrugs. Like, go
do
for
what
it.
Needs to be done. All right. Everything was good, except, well... Okay, everything was good.
Yeah. Everything was pretty
I'll
good.
I'll allow it.
Even Nisekoi did not bring it down.
Even Nisekoi.
Even Bleach.
Yeah, Bleach was fine. Bleach was fine last week, too.
Yeah, I no, but I'm just saying that normally... Normally. Yeah.
Hopefully Bleach is good next week, too. Except Naruto won't be good next week.
Yeah, we will be Naruto-less.
All right. I say that wraps it up.
Yeah, you've got work to do to stitch these audio files together.
Plus, I had to reinstall Windows today, so there's going to be a lot of staying up tonight to do this.
That sounds like a fun weekend.
Yep.
I'm
going to
play Assassination Classroom. Or, God, I keep mixing up. I'm going to play Assassination Classroom 4, Black Flag.
Is that the one where Karma... I
he
think I already used the pirate joke last week.
Karma's genetic memory.
That's the one where Karma becomes the king of the pirates.
Yeah. It's the Assassination Classroom game based on a Disney ride.
All the crossovers we're thinking of this week.
Yeah.
There actually was an AC4 manga that ran in Jump.
Really?
Yeah.
They do that for every one of the games.
Yeah, there's...
It's crazy.
I read the Assassination... Assassin's Creed 2 one. They're both AC too.
One of those things where there's a guy killing people, right?
Yeah.
Like super pretty boy assassin.
So would Assassin's Creed 4 be better if you could stick wasabi at people's noses?
It would. I'm enjoying that.
That's the new poison type.
Wasabi.
Imran, when you play, I expect you to go collect all the sea shanties too, like I am.
Okay.
They're the best collectible ever.
Should UPS ever deliver my PS4, that will be something that happens.
I guarantee you they're going to show up tomorrow and act like they didn't do anything wrong.
Yep. Well, that's the best case scenario, but yeah.
So, whoops, we tripped and marked it for delivered and left it on the truck. On accident.
Man, delivery services are so sleazy.
At least they didn't send it laser shipped.
Yeah. Actually, laser shipped got me that thing the next day, so we'll see.
All right. My only experience was that was they brought a guy out the next day and we were like searching in the bushes and then it never came, so then Amazon sent me the thing again.
Yeah.
I've never had a personal problem with Amazon, but at my last job, or with UPS, but at my last job, there was a lot of, like, they'd break a package that I had packed very well, and they were like, oh, yeah, we got it like that. It's like, no, you fucking didn't. I was the one that gave it to you. I know what it looks like.
So really the problem is that UPS is ruining the really important adjective of brown. All right. No, let's drop this.
We'll leave it on a brown note.
Aw. This has been your Friday, November 15th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Yep. Thank you.
We'll see you all next week.
So long. That was a pretty good pun to end on, you gotta admit.
That is a pretty awful pun to end on. I don't know what you're talking about.